It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown.
Welcome to the B-movie breakdown, episode number 49. 40 goddamn nine. That's almost one full year of episodes.
Damn.
52 will be one full year of episodes.
Trying to do the math in my head and it's not working.
Because you're not good at math.
That's one every week, right?
Very good.
What?
Very good. Well, the B-Movie Breakdown is a weekly podcast where we find the humor, enjoyment, low-budget, lesser-known films of the past and present, home of the good, the bad, the what the fuck. Each week's movie will be revealed on the prior episode, so you too can join in on the madness. Usually available on the Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah, you know the Netflix?
Yes.
Do you know what the Netflix is?
No.
No?
No.
Well, I'm Corey, and I'm DRC-less once again. And I have two guests with me once again. Two different guests from last week, but repeating guests.
Yes.
Wait, let me pull out my map and make sure that all checks out.
Yeah, you're like a string map, like a...
See, I'm not confused this time, what? Corey. I know that we're all on the same podcast, and we'll be on another podcast
this is true.
Later.
This is true. We're all on one podcast right now.
I'm no longer confused.
Joining me from the T-Dog Bulls of Hubs Combsy Stand Show...
Right. Timmy Blaze. That's me. What's going on, guys?
And also, I guess from that show, because yeah, you're on it
like
more than
times.
Like once.
Yeah. Chris.
Chris. They joined me for Smoke and Lightning.
Yep. Awesome movie.
An awesome, badass movie, but it does not compare to this week's movie that we will get to in 2 seconds. You can listen to us if you subscribe on iTunes, on our website, bnbpodcast.com, or on Stitcher. You can reach us at our website or email bnbpodcast@gmail.com. Twitter, that's where most people hit us up and recommend things and stuff. Though lately there's been quite a few comments on the Facebook page, so that's pretty sweet. Facebook.com/bnbpodcast. Tim, do you want to plug your shit?
Yeah, my shit... is somewhere. Just find it. No, go to iTunes and search Timmy Blaze, or you can go to Spreaker.com, which is Spreaker, /user/ Timmy Blaze, or just go there and search Timmy Blaze.
It's like speaker, but with an R.
Yeah, it's insanely complicated. I don't know how I know how I found it. I wanted to go look at speakers, for my car.
And
my finger slipped, and I hit... enter, so I was like, well, now I'm contractually obligated to do a podcast.
Is that really how you did it?
Not at all. No.
Oh. I just ruined the story.
No, that's okay. No, I searched free apps for iPhone to record podcasts.
We'll go with the speaker thing. It
yeah, no, that
fun.
Sounds a lot cooler, but no, it was literally like I needed something free, and I had zero knowledge of how to do it. I just wanted to do it, so... yeah, I just searched for it, and Spreaker gave me everything I needed on my silly little free app, so...
There we go. Check it out,
plug.
Spreaker. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I laugh when I listen to it. Sometimes I'm just like... I'm just kidding.
No, I'm the same way when I record. I'm just like, man, I'm like, three people are going to listen to this.
They're all going to hate it.
Yeah. Two of them aren't related to me.
One of them's
just
me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can the other person be beating off?
If they want to.
I mean, not like I know that that happens or anything.
No.
No.
No, okay. No beating off while listening to the T-Dog Bulls Pops Combsy Stand Show.
Or here.
Don't do that while you're listening to the B-Movie Breakdown. Maybe while you're watching the B-Movie Breakdown if there's boobs in it. Like there is in this week's movie.
The finest
boobs. This week... Honestly, this movie tops for me Troll 2, The Room, and Mac and Me. Those are like three, like, I put on a pedestal of amazing B-movies. This, I think, trumps them all. And it is called Miami Connection. It was made in 1987 and didn't see the light of day until 1 year ago. Thank you, Alamo Drafthouse Films and the Alamo Drafthouse Theater in Austin, Texas, for showing us this movie.
Yeah, I need to send them a thank you card for allowing this movie to be brought into my life. Because you can't even talk about B-movie. This movie is the definition of a B-movie.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, the plot alone, very simple. Synth rock band, Dragon Sound, consisting of five University of Central Florida students, embarks on a crime-crushing campaign for justice on the streets of Orlando against groups of cocaine smugglers and ninjas.
Yes.
Yes, I said Orlando, and the movie's called Miami Connection.
I didn't quite get that.
In the beginning of the movie, it says, somewhere in Miami.
It does.
And then a little bit later on, it says, Orlando. And then I'm like,
but wait,
you know, on the bottom of the screen, it says both of these things.
Was Orlando where they stole the coke and then brought it to Miami?
No, Miami is where they got the coke. And the ninjas were based out of Miami, so that's the Miami connection.
Oh, that's the connection.
But the movie took place in Orlando.
Yes, many times it says Orlando in places and at the bottom of the screen when they come back.
That would make more sense when I told you earlier when those ninjas were crawling at an alarmingly fast rate. And I was like, where in Miami is this? Like, this. What? Like,
well, they're in Orlando at Disney World.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Or the University of Central Florida, which was very prominent in this movie. I wonder if they had permission to show all of their T-shirts and stuff and other things like
probably
that.
They did not.
It feels like they didn't get a lot of permission. Like, there's a beach scene where I'm pretty sure 95% of the people don't know that they're in a movie.
The beach scene is my favorite part of the movie. This whole movie was like. Like, I could break it down in scenes. Like, here's the classroom scene. Or, well, not classroom scene, they were in a classroom. But here's the school scene. Here's the credits scene. Here's the letter scene. Here's the beach scene. Here's the workout scene. Here's the performance scene. It's just like, these are sections because the movie is just broken into these sections and nothing really. It just cuts
like,
all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like. Oh, he's crying now. Now we're at a beach party.
Yep. But, like, every scene, different scene that's filmed, I think they used a different film. Like,
or a different camera.
Or a different camera.
The quality of the video
sometimes
changes
was, like, really bad. And
yeah.
I don't know if it was problems restoring it, maybe, or something like that.
Well, some of it looked like old B-roll footage that they needed for time filler, and they were just like, well, just use this, because the rest isn't good. And because it had that, like, black bar stripe down the
side. Well, you can actually buy this movie on VHS.
That's awesome.
Alamo Drafthouse sells it on VHS.
Yeah, but is it like hipster $50 on VHS?
$20. Probably $20 because it cost quite a bit of money to produce that.
Yeah. No,
so,
I probably would.
They understand that not a whole lot of copies
it's like
probably
one of those sweet, like, hard plastic cases, too, and everything.
I like you showed me the stupid cocaine edition.
Stupid cocaine edition? It's pretty sweet.
For real.
Gangs and. Stupid cocaine.
Stupid cocaine.
But you were talking about the beach party scene before, and that is my favorite thing ever, and the favorite thing in the whole movie, because not only is it's just so ridiculous, you also get the Friends song.
Mm-hmm.
Not Friends, like the TV show Friends. Like, yeah, that's not playing in this movie.
They plagiarized
the band, who's also Taekwondo Masters, they have two awesome songs, which you get to watch the entire performances of both. So there's two music videos in this movie.
Full music videos. Guys, what is better in a ninja motorcycle action drama?
With cocaine.
A better example of a music video in a movie is a movie we watched in the past, and I wish it was on DVD so bad. It's not even on Netflix anymore. It's called Rockula.
Rockula.
Rockula?
Yeah.
Wasn't that like in that Sarah Marshall movie?
That was like a Dracula.
Yeah, that's the play, the musical play that he did. Didn't he call it Rockula?
I don't know if it was called Rockula, but it was like Dracula something. Yeah. But anyways, it was called Rockula, but like a vampire who has a kind of a split personality. He's supposed to have this destiny where he meets this girl, blah, 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 blah. He's been around. He always screws it up. He only gets his chance at once every 30 years or something, and he screws it up every time. He's such a bumbling idiot. And then he forms a band, and it's like Rockula. And anyways, the girl's also in a band that she's in love with or whatever. And in the movie, there's a scene where they're on a date. And then it starts, they're on the date, and all of a sudden they start singing. So they're like, all right, whatever, because it's kind of a musical-ish, because they do have moments where they sing other than on stage. And I'm like, okay, so they're singing in the street. But then this whole thing happens with this whole, like, scenario with the singing and everything, and then it pulls out, and people are watching this on TV. And it's a music video that just premiered, but it was happening in the movie.
So
that's too deep for me.
It's too deep for Rockula. At one point, he becomes Rapula.
Rapula.
Well, yeah, of
he's
got to
stay current.
He's got to stay fresh.
Yeah.
But
beyond Rockula, this is...
Is Rapula the sequel?
I wish there was a sequel to Rockula. Rockula was Stepula. So good.
But fuck Rockula, Sound Dragon.
Dragon Sound. Dragon Sound has two songs, Friends and Against the Ninja. The Friends song has lyrics like Friends to Eternity, Friends Forever... everything, it just repeats that.
Honesty,
loyalty, respect, yeah. Things like that, Type over and over
dough
again.
In the morning.
But the Friends song plays again during the beach scene, and they're driving in a car down the street, and nobody... There's so much ADR in this movie. The amount of added...
Unsynced ADR.
Yeah, the amount, right, of, the amount of added lines and... unsynced added lines are insane. Especially during this part. The one black guy, his face is just making like an ooh face. And he says, ooh, yes, girl.
Yeah.
But he just is making like an ooh face. Yep.
And
time.
Then the other dude was like,
The one guy, I don't know what he said. What I wrote down was, make with rock guys. Hey, baby. Because he said something about rock, and I rewound it a bunch of times.
I think he said, do you want to make it with some rock guys?
Maybe. He's like,
and
make
then,
with
rock guys. Yeah, but didn't he say stuff like, yeah, come over here, like right after that? Yeah,
and
yeah, I said, do you want to make it with some rock guys?
They show a girl's butt, and
yes,
somebody else says,
my favorite line.
Yeah, don't have buns like that at the bakery.
Boom!
I'm dropping
Boom!
That.
Boom!
And you know what? I didn't hear it the first time until I rewound it, and I was showing my girlfriend that scene. And she was laughing so hard at that line, and I didn't hear it the first time.
I kind of want to make that my Facebook post right now.
But the mustache guy out of the entire band of Dragon Sound, my favorite guy was Tom. He had
Freddie Mercury.
He had a mustache and a big mullet. He was Italian.
Dude, did he not look just like the guy from fucking the Adam Sandler movie, Wedding Singer?
Oh, yeah, Alan Covert's character.
Yeah, like, he looked just like him the whole time. That was all that ran through my head.
Yeah, and then he runs up to some girls on the beach and goes... Hey, what's up? Hey, give me a little kiss, please.
Scene.
Come on, give me a little kiss.
This is
why
super rapey.
For one, super rapey. For one, this entire beach scene is happening for no reason.
Right.
Like
no,
the scene before this the black dude, what was his name? Jim?
He
gets a letter in the mail about his dad and about like finding his dad.
Oh.
So it's a super emotional scene.
Curve right there.
And then it goes from that to beach scene. We'll get back to the letter scene in a second.
But
the beach scene, he's asking for the kiss. They push him down into the girls.
He's just rolling around.
This is what I thought was funny, though. When he gets pushed down, all right, there's the three girls laying there, right? Or maybe four, I don't remember. And he goes, there's the two in the middle. They push him down, he falls down, he, like, shoves his face, like, right into this chick's boobs. But it's like, this chick with, like, super little boobs, and then right next to her is this chick with huge tits. And I was like, you probably should have fell a couple inches to the right,
they couldn't
buddy.
Have chosen, like, it would have been funny because he was like, blah, blah, blah. But then they're slapping him, but they're also laughing.
Yeah.
And then they push him away, and he's still not on up, and his friends try to pull him up.
I feel like that's where Austin Powers stole the... I fell over
And he's like, he's falling over by himself, and then he's like, his friends try to pull him up, and it's like, this is going on for like 3 minutes.
And then the girls are armed with 90 pairs of shoes.
And then it cuts to Jane, and what was that one guy's name? Her boyfriend, one of the main guys. I never caught his name.
I think it was... John or...
What are you talking about?
I think it was John.
Because the bearded brother's name was Jeff.
Jeff, and her name was Jane.
And John,
Jeff,
and she was like,
meet
really
my
friend.
Oh, the really tall, lanky
John.
Guy?
Yeah, John.
Well, those two are making out on the beach, and it's super... One, it's like a really gross makeout.
It
doesn't even look like normal.
It's like high schoolers that are just trying it for
the first
time.
I think the guy that played John had never kissed a lady. So he was like, this is my chance. Because every time they kiss, it's like that awkward 14-year-old, like, I kind of...
And not only that, they didn't, like, there was no music, romantic music playing. It was like, wasn't it like dead silence?
It was just like
and then there were birds.
Yeah, and you just hear like water and fucking like, it was...
I know exactly why that beach scene was there.
So you could see how for their friends.
Not only that, but so, because I'm pretty sure up to this point they're like, guys, this movie feels like we could break into, like, a gay dog pile at any second.
Dude,
like,
this is some gay stuff in this movie.
Especially the scene right before the letter scene, you're like, this kid busts out in a full, like, dude makeout session. Yeah. Like,
in the whole movie, you're talking, I just, the whole movie is like, it doesn't, there's, like, nothing really happening, because I don't even really, there's these ninjas in the beginning, and they steal this cocaine or whatever, and they don't grab the money, and their boss is mad, so you're kind of like, oh, this is kind of setting up something.
Yeah.
And the cocaine has nothing really to do with anything, really.
No, you never hear about it again after that.
They mentioned selling it, and the only reason the band is involved is because they took the place of a former band, which you didn't even know that was the case for a while.
Until the awesome fight scene there.
Oh my god, that was one of the awesome parts. Oh god,
that argument too.
And that guy's mad, so he's friends with the Miami Ninjas, so they want to go after the dragons.
It seemed like a lot of people were kind of grouping up, like, with their mutual hatred for Dragon
Sound. Like, it was almost like the Warriors. Warriors, they had to try to, like, get out of New York back to Coney Island. Yeah. It's like, Dragon Sound has to, like, try to get back to the club and, like, survive the night.
Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't as good as Warriors.
No.
Well, like, good on a different sense. I think, I don't know. I like Warriors, but I also really liked the Miami Connection. The ADR started off right in the beginning, too, when they're like, there he is! Over there!
Yeah.
Oh my god! And like, nobody's talking.
No.
And dude, I love how hesitation never seems to be a problem in this movie. Like, every guy going to an attack is like,
like, just hold?
And they hold, punched! Oh!
Yeah, and at one point, some guy's arm got cut off with a steel rod.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was very confused. That was the very beginning.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, his arm just got cut off, and that guy was not holding a sword, he was holding a steel rod.
And dude, didn't the YK Kim or whatever, what's the main dude's name again?
His name is Mike.
Mark.
Mark. Sorry, Mark.
Mark had, he had just like a wooden boken, and he like, didn't he like clear, almost like fucking cut a dude's head off with
it? No, he hit somebody with it, and their neck was
He claps him on the neck, and it's just like,
For being so low budget, some of the makeup effects I really did enjoy. The slashes across the face, the neck, the arms. When the guy's one head got cut off, it was pretty bad, but...
Yeah.
That was funny,
I feel like they might have found someone who was going to school for makeup that was like, yeah, I can do some decent shit and fairly cheap.
Dude, I can say honestly that I don't think it's very hard to get a black belt in Taekwondo.
I've seen their fighting styles. When he was 13 years old. And I read that on Wikipedia.
Did you see his little performance, that part of the movie, when he just, like, starts teaching them
and
he goes up there
there's
and he's,
that
like,
weird,
doing his...
There's that weird sparring scene.
Yeah, another scene where the movie dead Hulk.
Spar scene. This is the spar scene.
This is how we Taekwondo, and then it almost sets it up because he does similar moves.
At the end. With the knife stabbing, and a lot of the dialogue, too, was very, like, delivered very plain. YK Kim, Mark, the character, you couldn't understand half the shit he was saying.
Oh,
and his some of his lines were redubbed, and he redubbed his own lines.
And
you
still can't understand.
I feel like they couldn't understand what he was saying sometimes, because some of the responses, he'd be like, let's go! Oh, you know, that! And they'd be like, yeah! Okay.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I totally know what you're saying.
And I'm pretty sure he wrote a lot of the dialogue, because it feels like dialogue that was written by someone whose first language is not English.
Either, one, he wrote a lot of it, but also I have a feeling that a lot of it was also made up. Like, just react to what this person's going to say.
Right.
And dude, they didn't really know how to react.
Yeah.
They were just like, oh.
You can tell they ad-libbed a lot of that stuff, dude, like, especially with the arguments and stuff, when they would argue with each other, like, you could tell how they, like, had the scripted argument to start out, but then all of a sudden, it would just be like, you and me both yelling at each other at the same time, and you don't know what either guy's saying,
and
it's just like...
A perfect example of that is when Jeff and his buddies first walk into the club when they're doing the Friends song, and then one guy goes, that's your sister! And Jeff goes, very plain, I don't know what she's doing here.
Yep.
She's not supposed to be here.
The heroine hasn't worn off.
Like, so plain.
I'm the fun police, and she is busted.
And during that performance is when I really noticed that, one, obviously they're not playing their instruments. It's somebody else did this song or whatever, which I commend whoever really did that song. The girl might have been actually singing the song. We watched the video beforehand of the reunion, and she was singing. Her voice not as good as it used to be.
But it
given
still
the
sounded
fact it was 25
it's better
years
than me.
Ago.
So
yeah, but it still
like
sounded
it.
Like it did.
Yeah, it still sounded like it did. But the Mark, he has clearly never seen a guitar in
ever.
His entire life up until that point, because he's playing it like how like a little kid when you first hand him a guitar and he's like a 2 year old and he's just like woo,
like arm like wrapped around the guitar awkwardly, like not strumming correct, like completely. And I feel like they handed him a guitar and after like five times I'm holding it like upside down and they're just like, all right, fuck.
And then they're just dancing around like so silly. And it's just like the silliest dancing
doing
and like
taekwondo.
I guess
kicks.
They were just having a great time. They're just having a blast.
It looks like it. It looks like when they were recording, they're like, yep.
Oh,
this is...
there is the one classroom scene, and I forgot about that. I'm sorry. I said before there wasn't, but there totally is. There's that computer class.
Yes.
And...
very beginning.
Class.
What?
Oh,
what
yeah.
class? What was that? It seemed like it might have been... what was
web
going
design.
On?
I want to say web design.
Web design,
he's talking about
87.
Programming.
She has computers. Those computers in
yeah,
internet.
Dude. That's what I was going to say.
But he goes by Jane, and he goes, oh, hey, Jane. Good circle.
Good circle? I never heard that shit.
He says that to her.
I think
good
it's some,
circle.
I remember
maybe
like,
a computer drafting or like a computer.
I couldn't tell what the class was, what they were doing. A lot. Of, I thought it was a typing class. It would make sense. Like, but it's college.
But yeah,
computers are new.
But
so.
He says, like, you guys won fourth place in the programming contest. Good work. And
yeah.
then it pans the camera over, and those were like fucking calculators with big monitors, and you're just like, what the fuck are they programming? Like,
yeah.
Morse code or some shit.
And. That's when John shows up and Jane's on the computer and she's like waving and he's just making like silly faces like ooh, blah, blah,
I missed that part too.
And it's like going on for like 3 minutes or so.
Awkwardly long, and then he's trying to get her like, let's go outside.
He might as well have been putting his finger into like cupping his hand and being like, yeah, sex. That's what I want, sex. Whoa.
Dude, I thought it was
but
funny.
Then, but then once he gets her out of the classroom and they walk, he seriously has the best line. He's like, so what's up? Like, family, what's with your family?
I've that's what I mean by
yeah.
made up dialogue.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is just like an awkward conversation, like, two people that really don't know each other might have.
So what's up
right.
with your family?
And they're like,
and
you gotta at some point get to the point that she has family.
And
yeah.
she
oh,
says, I can't explain why, I just don't like him. Like, it just sounds so made up. She goes, he's like, why do you hate your brother? And she goes, I can't explain why. I just don't like him.
I just don't
like
him.
Like, the stuttering is just like, she could come up with something.
Yep.
So she just said, I can't explain. I just,
what
I
love,
just
though,
two
is
scenes
that
later.
Scene when they fucking meet in the parking
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, two scenes
oh,
later,
yeah.
they meet, she hugs her brother.
Yeah.
Like, hey, brother.
For,
yeah,
and he's all
right,
happy.
Right then, the whole, brother brings the whole gang.
Yeah. yeah.
He brings his whole, like,
entourage,
who are ninjas,
yep.
some of them.
Well, yeah,
some
not
of them.
All of them.
And, yeah.
But, yeah, dude, I just like when he walks up, though, it's like, it was just, they're just, walking, she's like, oh, this is my friend John.
And then
and
Jeff
just like,
walks
okay.
up to him
yeah.
and just punches him in the
yeah.
fucking
yeah,
face.
For no reason. He's just like,
oh
he's like,
uncalled for.
Who's that? Oh, it's my friend John.
Friend?
Well, friend?
Well, you see them kiss. He did see them kiss on stage.
Yeah.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
He was playing, because he was the
was
bass
that?
Player, and she goes over and kisses him, and yeah, he sees that. But yeah, he's just like... And then the Mark steps up and stands in the middle, literally didn't catch a word he fucking
nope.
said there.
Not, oh, where he's just like, hand
he's like,
up,
yeah,
I'm
like,
not afraid of you.
Get up!
That's all I heard.
Stay there! What are you doing?
And what I don't get,
I don't know,
what's
like,
the brother's name again?
Jeff.
Why was Jeff in like a fucking sleeveless commando outfit in the beginning of the movie, and then he's straight fucking James Bond suiting it up the rest as like a top businessman with a suitcase and like...
Because he had a business... Because he mentioned that he had a business.
But he doesn't dress any other way.
I don't
like,
know what his business was. He just had a business.
You just had to understand that when he's in a suit, he's in business mode.
and
when he's
when
in commando, he's in ass-kicking mode.
When it's
mode.
Time to kick
yeah.
some ass in the parking lot.
And then there's that one argument you were mentioning before where the other bearded guy, not
oh,
Jeff,
yeah. I call him the bullshit man. Because how many fucking times in that movie was he like, bullshit! Yeah. They were fucking playing, they got us fired!
Yeah. And he's
I don't know what you're talking about. Bullshit,
he's like, I come in here, play adult music, you bring dragons out
they
here.
Play music for kids!
Play music for kids! And then the club owner is like, I can't know what to tell you. They're better. They're... And then he's like, well, that's it. And then he starts fighting!
And not then the club fighting, owner, kung fu fighting.
Club owner, yeah. Dopey looking white dude. Martial art badass.
Yes, but then, all of a sudden, you only saw it was those two guys, and a third guy comes in. Like, where did he come from? Like, he was just on the set, and he's just like, they're like, you get in there too! Alright,
I can do this.
There's so many times someone's getting attacked, and you see the people in the circle, like, waiting, like, okay, I got number four, two is up now.
He's holding the pose he's gonna do when before he walks up. He's like, now!
There goes three, and four. Yeah, like...
And I just don't even understand why they hate a dragon sound so much. And then the one time he's like, yeah, they control the area. Like, dragon sound's just performing. They're not in the drug game like the rest of the people. They're not controlling this area. They're just performing at this club.
I thought that's why they wanted him out, though, is because they weren't down with the cocaine. So they were like, oh, well, let's get these.
But they
these
said that they were controlling the area. And they really...
They sung one song.
They didn't play there because they wanted to, like, put these guys out of their fucking cocaine business. They just got a gig.
They wanted a gig. That's all it was. And apparently this club only books one band. And they don't... And there's no other places for bands to play at all.
Maybe they could have played at the Asian uncle guy's restaurant. How many awkward scenes were there?
A lot, man. That eating
scene in the first one was just like...
He's just staring at him all smiling like, good. It's good. Is it good? Yeah. It's good. It tastes good. Eat it up because it's good. And I was just like, I have a feeling good was the first English word you learned when you
and
came to this country.
The other scene where he beats up those guys for not paying their tab, which is a random group, had nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
No, really? I thought they were like some of the ninjas.
They just look like random jock dudes.
Oh, okay.
And they just didn't pay their tab. He beats them all up. Dragon Sound sees him beating them up. He comes back in like, oh, you know, I'm all done.
Yeah.
And they run in and they're like, okay, are you okay? Yeah. And then they all just sit around looking at each other like, yeah. All right.
He's okay. Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, cool.
And then that one Asian guy, Mark, goes. He goes over and gets a napkin. And starts
wipes his face.
Mark was looking for a lot of things to do
in the scene
where he just starts randomly shoving grapes in his roommate's mouths.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a t-shirt wearing law in this movie where it's like, too many men have t-shirts
either
on, get them
sleeves,
off.
Because you can buy the Dragon Sound cut sleeve shirt on the website where you can buy the movie and the poster
How much is the shirt?
I don't know, like $18.
I think I'm just going to cut the sleeves off my shirt and make my own.
Well, you could buy one that's like a generic version of it I saw on Cafe Press or something. So, many different colors, not even just red.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, the awkwardness. And then he gets, and then you're saying he wants to put things in people's mouths.
Yeah.
He's feeding them grapes when they're in... Their house scenes were just as awkward as the restaurant scenes.
I totally thought, like, after he fed him the grape, he was going to tickle his balls. He was going to be like, grape balls!
And he goes in and checks on that guy in the computer.
Yep.
And he's just like, you're doing a good job. Yeah. And then he walks to the next room, like, why? What?
To establish their sense of
That's family-ness. Why I feel like... Why he had a lot to do with this movie, and like, because there was totally when the Freddie Mercury looking dude gets kidnapped, he literally says, "My friend Mark is gonna get you."
Yeah,
like that right was one of his lines getting
Mark's
shoved
gonna
into.
Get you.
Yeah, and it's like, wow, dude. But if you notice, like every scene he's involved in, like when Jim gets the letter from his dad, and all that stuff, like. Mark has got to be there. He takes it out of his hand.
He's,
he's the one showing everyone.
He's touching everybody and grabbing them. Yes. And the best is when they pick him up.
He has to be the center of attention.
Yes. There's another scene where three characters walk into a room in front of him. They're slightly off camera. He walks in dead center, like perfectly framed.
When
Tom gets kidnapped, like why? They all know all this is going on. Why leave him alone to go in the restaurant and let him park the car by himself?
Well, no, what once, because remember he gets kidnapped and they were like, and they just throw him down and he's all like beaten up and bloody. Did they ever get him out of there? Remember, because you said at the end of the movie, what happened to Mark?
No, like, he was there at the end. He was there.
Yeah. Was he?
Well, he wasn't there at the very end, but he was there right before the end.
At the very end, he wasn't there.
But when he gets kidnapped is when they go to that restaurant. They leave school to go to this restaurant, and they literally drive, I think, like 2 seconds, like around the corner. Like they could have walked to the restaurants, like across the street.
Dude, and 1987, gas was like 60 cents a gallon. Of course, they're gonna fucking drive.
I'm just gonna drive. I'm not gonna walk across that street. Fuck that. The fight the ninja song or
against the ninja.
How much was that foreshadowing the entire movie?
The fact that they sung it before they ever met ninjas were after them.
No clue at all.
They just wanted to stop the senseless violence.
That most of which they put on ninjas.
And I love Tom's sweet guitar solo in that song, too. He had a really badass guitar
Tom
solo.
Rips it. Not only that, everybody else thought it was really cool. YK Kim's fucking great little quote about the only way to end violence is what?
It's something about ending violence at
for
the
a
end.
World of peace.
Oh, yeah, the big quote of the screen, yeah.
Yeah, he dismembers like 16 ninjas.
Yeah, spoiler
ninjas.
Mark straight up kills like 36 ninjas at the end.
Yeah, but he goes into rage.
Yeah, but okay, all of his rage came from the fact that one ninja got Jim, who I thought was dead.
Yeah. Oh, he would have died.
And I love what
he still would have died.
But it's like they
dragging
got Jim.
His body through the water. It's just like his limp body. Yeah. He's just like, oh.
And then you can see he had trouble pulling him up on the shore, so he's like grabbing him by the hip, and he's just like, "You're gonna live.
Yes.
You're gonna live. Okay, you're not gonna slide off."
Yeah. So then after that, Mark kills a shitload of ninjas. Jim's not even dead. Cut to them taking Jim to the hospital.
Don't forget what's his name, the tall lanky dude who's dating the chick.
Oh yeah,
who goes into like fucking blood rage mode.
He goes into crazy
when he's just
rage
like,
mode.
Every guy he killed, he had to scream for like 30 seconds after his death. Like, yeah.
You know what else reminds me of some screaming is when they leave the performance of Against the Ninja, and they are on their way back, and they're all in their car. Because they all ride together, and they live together, and everything else together. And they get stopped by, not Jeff's gang. Other bearded guy.
The X-Band.
Yeah, the X-Band.
Bullshit Man.
The
X-Band Bullshit Man.
X-Band Bullshit Man's gang. Because I don't know if that's the whole band, if they had like 30 people. Or...
No, they went to the gym and got
That would explain why they got fired, dude. But... That's a lot of people to pay. Okay, how much cocaine
for
is,
for like
though?
5 minutes, it's just them yelling.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about how that guy was screaming and made me think of that. Like, they're just going, with like, willing weapons. Just yelling and, like, weapons flailing.
And, dude, I love the chase scenes when fucking Mark starts running down ninjas by foot and they're just, like, running away in fear from him because he's just, like, it's like watching two little children play in the woods when they're just, like, splash! And he's just, like, with a sword, like, I'm gonna get you!
And it's like that in that scene, too, with the... that I was just talking about with the fighting is very similar, but it's in the street. Yeah. How they all jump out of their cars and they take on, like, 40 guys, but they do that, like, stopping, like, he runs behind the corner of the building, and then waits for the guy that punches him, they do that in the train yard, and, like, how many times can these guys fall for that?
A lot.
Like, you can see where he is, and do you think he really ran all the way around the corner, you're just gonna keep running? He just, every time.
Yeah.
And then he did the double kick the one time.
Yes. Super slow-mo.
Super slow-mo double kick to a freeze frame. Which I thought was very odd in during the middle of this whole action sequence, a freeze frame. Like, he just wanted his face to be up there.
Dude, there was a couple of moves that they did that were like, there was no reason to slow-mo it. In fact, because they slow-mo'd it, it looked even more pathetic than
the original
thing.
The one time he headbutt the dude and I'm pretty sure killed that guy with headbutt. He headbutt the guy, and the guy's reaction was like, It was like he had like a long death for a hell. Like, or like... If I got a headbutt, I don't think I would like act like I was dying. Like, unless it was
powerful.
It
must have been an insane headbutt.
Yeah, like a death headbutt. I was like, holy shit. And then they just get back in the car and act like nothing happened.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it cuts to them just get back in the car driving. And, like,
and it's like, between the two of you, you just murdered, like, 70 guys.
And
like,
not to
like
mention, there's no cops throughout. Oh, wait, never mind.
Oh, the cops show up later.
The one time
the
cops show up.
The cops show up later. We'll get to that. One thing I think we really need to go back on, though, is one thing Tim was starting to talk about before was the letter scene.
Oh, best
oh,
scene.
Oh, God, yeah.
Best scene.
And I was like, when he got the letter and the mail came and they were passing out the mail or whatever, the one guy goes, "You don't want to wake the neighbors."
What?
Yeah, because Jim and Jeff
Oh, when they were yelling at each other.
Oh,
and
John were arguing.
They were fighting over it. He's like, give me the letter. And he's like, just take it. Voice gets like girly as fuck.
But that's why Jim was getting upset, because he said the letter was from Washington, D.C. And he's like, uh-oh, what's all this? And he's just like, he knows it's about his dad. Yeah. So that's why he got all. But of course, as he does,
give me the goddamn letter.
I know my dad.
Yeah. Then Mark, the band / life / house leader, you know, comes.
Life leader.
He totally is. He's the life leader.
He's the mentor of the.
He comes in and he settles everyone down.
What is going on here? Is it with the fighting? What I letter?
I don't know what the fuck he just said, but he just took my letter and took my letter. And then his whole thing about is, my mom was Korean, my dad was
African.
He said African American.
Or black American.
Didn't it sound like Mark the one time said, he goes, I didn't know you had a father. I thought we're all orphans.
Yep.
It sounded like he said, I thought we're all orphans, but then later on they're talking about their parents and where they're from and stuff like that. So I was like, why didn't he say they were all orphans?
And what I thought was funny is four guys living together, day one, he doesn't even know he had a father. I'm pretty sure everybody has a fucking father, well, whether they were around or not.
Yeah, the famous line from Mark, I didn't know you had father.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then... Yeah, and then when you were describing what his parents were, Korean and black American.
Black American.
Dude, remember they were all sitting outside and he was like, they were just talking about, they're like, oh, well, after we, you know, start to tour, he's like, I think we should just visit everybody's heritage. He's like, we could go to Ireland, we could go to Korea, we can even go to Pakistan, where I'm from. I did not know you were Pakistani, and I was like, how the fuck good friends are you?
That was when he found out. He was so pissed. Yeah. He hates Pakistan.
He's like,
what? You're from Pakistan?
Get out.
The fuck out.
I've been living with this dirty... No, yeah. But no, they would seriously make, like, -$2 million on that tour. They're playing, like, four shows.
-$2 million.
Seriously, they're not going to make money.
And when he's crying, it is by far the worst crying in any movie ever.
Which, ironically enough, in an interview, that's right, I looked up interviews on this movie.
Nice.
He said it took him 2 hours to get to that point of crying. 2 hours. They said they threw peppers in his eyes. They gave him the peppermint on their eye. All this stuff. God. And he said he had to think back to a dark memory in his life, and that's how he got that performance.
Wow.
It was just... When he's crying, he's just like, face. And I knew I had a dad.
Oh, yeah.
And my daddy knew. And then, like, everybody else is just standing there.
Yeah.
They're not, like, consoling him or anything. He's standing, like, so far in the forefront.
What's that called? They do it in a play.
Yeah.
Soliloquy or something. Where he just, like, starts talking and then turns off into his own world.
And usually
then, like,
everybody else goes black or something.
But there was no fade to black.
It's not a play. It's a movie.
Yep.
And they're all just, like, standing there.
And that's the other one. You see the scenes they filmed in the morning before the letter, like, they started using natural house light.
Yeah.
So you could see, like, the dudes in the very foreground are just, like, normal color and shade. But then the two pasty guys standing with no shirts on in the background are, like, fucking beaming white like they're fucking aliens. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah. And then they cut, like we were saying before, like, it literally cuts from crying right to the fucking beach.
Yep, right to the beach.
Like, that is just...
No transition.
All right, let's troll for some white women.
Yep.
Like, that's all he needed.
You know what? In any gym scene they had was weird. The one gym scene where Jeff comes in to talk to Jeff.
Yes.
And he's like, I want you to help me get our job back. Like, why would Jeff help this guy get his job back? I understand he wants to get the band because of his sister, blah, blah, blah. But he should be like, yeah, I'm going to get the band and everything because that's what I want to do, but fuck your job. I don't give a fuck about you.
But here's the thing that's fucking crazy is ex-band bullshit man says, help me get my job back.
I love this.
And all the money is yours.
All the money I make from this job will be yours.
Why the fuck do you need that job back? This dude...
You're not gonna make a fucking penny.
Like, help me get this job back so I can make zero money.
I assumed it was just because of such a strong personal hatred for Dragon Sound that he would throw himself into personal slavery to see that they get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot all about that. And then he's telling them about them. He's like, they're all black belts in Taekwondo. They're pretty bad.
They're pretty bad.
They're pretty bad.
Like, oh my god. And, oh, it's just so, just, it was just ridiculous. Oh my god. Dude, I forgot. And one of my favorite quotes in the entire movie was after the spar scene, which was very awkward and weird. Remember before they started sparring, they bowed, they shook hands, uh-huh. and they started walking in place?
Yep, yep.
And that was so weird. But then they're sitting down at the table drinking Pepsi, a little product placement there. They all had their Pepsis high up in the air with the logos facing out. And John says, "What do you think about putting board breaking into the routine? We can write another song about Taekwondo and do, and after Tom does a sweet solo, we can all break boards. Jack would do a drum solo, of course.
I think it is a good idea."
And then that's when Jack goes off on his thing like, I'm not playing there. I'll help you write the song, but I'm not playing there no more.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not, with that stupid cocaine.
Stupid cocaine.
Stupid cocaine.
Stupid cocaine.
Yeah.
Dude, oh
my God. Yeah, it was just so fucking bizarre, dude. Like, well, what was another? Jack was probably the worst actor out of all of them.
Which one was Jack again?
Unibrow. The one who was the unibrow, and he was talking about, oh, we can go to here.
I said he looked like the main kid from Twilight with Down syndrome. Yeah. Robert
Pattinson.
Yeah, I guess, kind of.
But
yeah.
Who did I say he looked like? Didn't I tell you, like, when we were watching, I said he looked like, he reminded me of, shit. I'm never going to remember it now.
Yeah, I usually
all I know is that what I got from this movie is that I want Taekwondo synth rock bands to exist.
Yes. They should come back.
I want that to be a thing. I really just want that to be a thing. It is just so... Dude. And so many times after performances, the one time after the restaurant where the guy beats up the people, it cuts to a performance for, like, maybe 30 seconds, and then just cuts to them in a car again.
Yeah.
Like, very, very odd cuts.
Dude, just... the whole Harley party scene, I feel like they rounded up as many homeless people as they could, put as much leather on them as they could, and then was like, all right, now which one of you old women will show your boobs? And
oh, yeah, there's
like,
a whole motorcycle rally scene. Well, first it starts off with a motorcycle montage.
Right.
That lasts about 4 or 5 minutes.
And then the amazing song called Tough Guys.
Yeah, Tough Guys. Then there's nasty biker boobs and some guy's ass.
Dude.
That guy just jumps up in front of the camera and flashes his ass.
You know when you go to the zoo and you see, like, those big female orangutans walking around?
Yep.
Those are pretty close to the titties you're going to see
in the
movie.
At first, before they showed up at the biker rally, when they were showing those bikers, I was like, what is this footage from?
I don't know.
Like, and then they showed up there, but then that scene, once, just like the beach scene, served no purpose.
Nope.
It was, you could see this gang hanging out now, and this is what they do.
I feel like they tried to do that as, like, maybe an establishing shot to show that they're bad.
And then there's more boobs inside the bar. A little bit better boobs than...
A little bit better.
And the one main bad guy boss, I just kept writing boss down. He, like, grabbed the girl's boobs.
Yeah,
and was,
like, he, like, turns
them.
Her, and he's like, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, just like, I was just like, what is this about? Before that, though, there's the train yard fight scene, and...
Train yard fight scene.
Where they meet him, where they go to meet him in the train yard. They're, like, gonna have some sort of truce
when they decided, they're like, we need to do this now.
Yeah,
and they
fight in the train yard. There's that guy with, like, the half shirt... And he
the
has long hair.
Dude,
and
he looked like a woman, dude. I kept saying, who's the hacker
I kept thinking
chick?
It looked kind of like Shawn Michaels. He has, like, the same, like, earrings he used to wear and everything.
I could see that, but he was just awkward.
Yeah, he hid behind the bushes and was like,
That's what he was doing while he was hiding, was just shifting left and right, going,
And then he got back out behind the bush, and then it was like,
and then ran away.
Up,
and when he got out to fight, he did that total, like, Three Stooges, like, over-exaggerated, waving your fists, like...
And then the one dude did the classic Indiana Jones takedown where he's just, like, badass staring at him like, what? And then, kia! One kick, he's out cold.
And then the cops come, which seems like it was filmed entirely separate.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, what if the cops were actually called?
I told Chris, they called, and they're
like a rape in the train yard.
He dialed 911.
The cops on themselves, but I was also thinking, like, what if somebody called the cops because they just saw these idiots running around? And then
with,
like,
katanas hitting each other.
And then when they ran, they're like, shit, the cop's coming!
Get the camera rolling!
Get the fuck out of here!
Yeah, that's what I'm like, if you don't physically see the two cops, that was seriously cops being called.
But then they show the two cops that have the weirdest conversation, like, oh, nothing's going on here. Oh yeah, we gotta stop that gang problem. Yeah. Alright, see you later.
Mismatching uniforms. Like completely different uniforms. Yeah.
I assumed one was a statey and the other was local. They were
both
state.
Both cars were state. I thought the same thing. I paused it. Both cop cars were state cop cars, and they both had state sheriffs, like...
Well, badges. Then there's no excuse for those poor costumes. That was my one way to give them out, and they fucked it up.
It was just so weird. It was just, oh my god. What was another thing I wanted to do, talk about? When they were showing each other how to dance.
What was that?
They're on the stage. And, oh, no, it wasn't them. It was the bad guys. They were in the gym.
Yeah.
And it was the long-haired Shawn Michaels guy.
Yes.
And the fat guy and some other, and the other mustached guy. And they were showing each other how to dance. They were like, oh, yeah, I can do this. Oh, yeah, I can do this.
Yes, they just had some weird scenes because then...
And then
Jane walks in and asks if her brother was there. And just their dialogue in general was just weird. Like, one of them said, like, salami for no reason.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's about my reaction as well.
And then when she's looking for Jeff, she doesn't come looking for her brother. I thought she knew her brother was dead. I thought when she walked in, she goes, "Where's Tom?" Because Tom was kidnapped.
Yeah, I want to say she was fairly forgiving about the fact that dude fucking murdered her brother.
Her boyfriend murdered her brother.
Yeah, that's what
she didn't like, so it didn't matter. She didn't like.
Well, she said that line to cover her up, though. She was like, "I know it was hard not to stay away from you for so long, but I was angry. But I forgive you now because it's over."
And that solves that.
And make out.
No, but the funny thing was, did he murder his brother? Because he just did some taekwondo flashy moves and his brother backed off and fell.
Yeah.
I thought he kicked him off.
Nope, didn't touch him.
And how? And when Jane was in there looking for her brother, after they were done dancing, they were like mocking her. They were like, "Oh, Jane, oh, hey, oh." Like, why is this happening? And then, how did Dragon Sound find Tom?
What do you mean? How
did they know
kidnapped?
Where he was tied up at? Up on the top of that scaffold.
I think they kidnapped him to lure them out. So they probably just off camera was like, "We've got your friend, come here." Like,
yeah, that
probably
was
could have been a good establishing scene.
And then
they
grab those two guys that are hiding. And they judo chopped them, and they get knocked out. Oh, it's just straight up Austin Powers judo chop.
But you notice they gave him a double knockout, like because he pulls the one guy down and then knocks him out, and then the second guy goes after him, and then he like punches him, and then they're both unconscious, and then they both pick him up again. I thought, and then karate chop him in the neck after they were already laying down,
ran. And what did that one guy have? He had like sticks with like barbed wire on them or something.
Are you talking about the pole with the spikes? It was like a bat, but with just spikes all over.
Yeah.
It.
Where did that guy get? Two
at
of those
first,
at.
I thought it was one of the. I thought it was a hedge trimmer blade that they broke off, and they're just wielding a fucking hedge trimmer.
And I loved when Jeff fell off. It was very overdramatic, slow motion. And then they cut to them telling the boss that Jeff died, and they go, "Your brother Jeff died." And I was like,
"Wait, what?"
His brother?
I guess like ninja brother.
That's what I thought, but I was like, "That's
they're
like
part of the ninja family
like
or some shit."
And then it cuts to a ninja training scene.
Yeah,
which I might add, their
form was quite poor.
They were some shitty ninjas.
They were
not in sync
at all.
They're Miami
ninjas.
What do you expect?
I guess that's true.
And they're all on cocaine.
I think another movie we watched one time, which I really, really highly recommend watching, is called Steel Justice. And I think it also took place in Florida, and it had to do with, like, Asian gangs in Florida. It was very heavily Korean gangs in Florida. It's very weird similarities. It starred the bad guy from Karate Kid.
Which one? The Dojo Master?
Yeah, the Dojo Master.
Oh, okay.
He was the star.
My only thing is, okay, I will buy that they're Florida ninjas. Orlando, Miami, wherever their origins may lie.
Really, you'll
Florida
buy it?
I'll buy that.
Okay.
But at what point?
At what point
are they like, "We're ninjas. We're sneaky. Everyone, get on your motorcycle."
And plus, like, I don't think the cops would be like, "Well, there's 36 ninjas riding in a gang on motorcycles, but we have a 911 call about this warehouse over here. We better get into that."
Yeah.
Yeah, because when they roll up on all the ninjas in full ninja uniform on motorcycles in the car, they're seriously like, "Ugh, ninjas."
Yeah, right? Like, it's a common problem out
there.
And then
when they're doing the ninja training, it just immediately cuts to Jim walking out to the mailbox. Yep. Like, it just, like, it doesn't, like, fade out and nope. Ninja training. Nope. And then he's like, my father!
He starts low and he's just like, my father? Oh, my father? My father?
And then,
oh my god!
Like, no, but the gang runs out, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Mark is in the lead.
Yep.
Tom is in a towel.
Yes. Yeah. For some reason.
Three of them, no shirts.
They came out of the same room. No, but, and of course, of Mark is like, what do you say?
I feel like he's on coke the whole time.
Immediately rips the letter and picture out of his hand.
Yeah, he's just like...
And then they put him on their shoulders. And like, yes. Jumping up and down with him. I just kept thinking, like... But they're just filming this in a neighborhood. So, like... But what if they weren't, though, this was existing in this world? There's, like, four grown men holding another man on their shoulders, all with no shirts on.
Yeah, in the yard. Just bouncing them.
Yeah, just so ridiculous. And then there's that weird montage of them getting him new clothes and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Which got real fucked later.
Yeah, and then they go to meet Jim's dad, and Tom, Jack, and Jane stay behind for what reasons? I don't know. I don't know why they all wouldn't go with, but John, Jim, and Mark go. They get stopped by the ninjas. That's when Jim gets sliced open. And literally my reaction... While laughing, I was saying this. I was like, Jim sliced open. No, he was going to meet his dad.
Dude, Mark's reaction, though, was the best. He's like,
Jim! I thought Mark was going to turn into the fucking Incredible Hulk. Yeah. Jim!
Mark had some great slow-mo, intense faces.
Oh, yeah.
After he made kills.
And I like how they had to show that. Like, that was so close to the end of the movie. So that when the end of the movie came, they just, like, showed soundless clips of what you just watched 10 minutes ago. Of him, like, screaming through the fucking jungle. And
then the boss kills that guy.
The one survivor who comes back to say they're all dead.
He's like, they're all dead. And he's just...
chops his head.
And then just maniacally laughs.
Yep.
And then that part was cool.
And then it's Mark versus the boss, and the boss is clearly no longer an Asian guy. He is clearly a white guy.
His
mask comes fully off one time, and it's like the Asian guy was like kind of like dark complexion even. So like,
and they couldn't even get like a
tan
dude.
Looking guy.
Nope.
Like,
they were like, "Well, you're gonna have a ninja mask on, so nobody, and you're gonna be moving around fighting. No one will see."
And then there was just like so many slow mo shots of swords. Being clinked together.
That was the other thing, too. When they were doing, like, the Taekwondo scenes, anytime there was, like, a sword or a guy with a knife, I honestly believe that they were all real swords and knives, because you could see how careful they are when he, like, comes at him with it, and he does when he does the wrist snap, and he, like, pops it out of his hand, he, like, takes a full 5 seconds when he, like, slowly lunges, and then he grabs his wrist, and then just goes...
I thought the one was real when they were sparring, but it clearly wasn't because he stabbed him with it and he did nothing happen. But I was like, are they using a real knife? I was like, that's a pretty good fake knife then. It looked pretty real. And then he stabs the guy, the bad, the boss at the end. And then you can clearly the guy's holding the knife with his hands because it's sticking so far out and it was like a little dagger.
Yeah.
And he's like, just like ketchup is just all over his stomach. Straight up
you
just
stabbed
ketchup.
My Big Mac sandwich. Oh.
And I didn't even... understand how Jim was alive.
Afterwards?
Like, yeah, I didn't understand how he was alive afterwards.
Usually when you get cut across the chest.
When they're at the hospital, Jim's dad is there now. How he got there? How did they contact him?
No idea.
There wasn't cell phones or anything.
This
like,
is like 87.
They didn't know his number.
Nothing.
How they, I don't know. Maybe Jim was dying and they're like, no, Jim, you're going to make it in the car. And maybe they drove to go get his dad and then went to the hospital.
502 North Airplane Road. Dad's flight 615 from Cincinnati. Get it. Pick him up.
Yeah. And then at the hospital, everybody's there except Jane wasn't there, was she?
I don't think she was at the hospital.
Jane and Tom were at the hospital, clearly back at the house banging.
Clearly. Because there's a reason Tom's always in a towel.
I thought Tom and Jack were going to bang her anyways, but Jack ended up at the hospital, so I don't know, maybe...
And can't we just say real quick that Jim's dad was obviously like a 22-year-old man with shitty makeup on.
And like gray like hairspray.
Yep.
He was younger than Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Easily
younger than Jim. I was like... I was kind of offended at that point. I love this movie, but I was kind of like, Come on, you couldn't have found some old black guy somewhere?
Or you couldn't have just took Jim and then dressed him up older and made him look like he was his own dad or something? Like,
yeah.
Because he was pretty old looking himself.
I was kind of mad that Tom wasn't there. I just liked that character. He was so silly. And then, like, freeze frame at the end with Jim's dad, Jim, some of the gang, and
Mark,
was Tom the dude with the mullet?
No, yeah, with the mustache.
Yeah, mustache. Yeah.
He wasn't there, neither was Jane. And maybe Jack wasn't there either. I thought Jack was there for some reason. The Robert Pattinson Downs guy.
I don't know. He might have
been. It was just John, Mark, and Jim with Jim's dad.
Maybe. Dude, I said he looked like Andre from the League before he went bald. Tom? Or not Tom, the fucking Down syndrome looking kid?
Like Paul Scheer?
Yeah.
Dude, when he had hair? Like, dude, if you pull up a picture.
When he had hair,
picture,
I never
like,
seen him with hair.
That's what I'm saying. It was like if he didn't, when he had hair, like, dude, I swear to God, he looked just like him.
And then there's the message of world peace at the end.
Yes. It's like, although we killed 35 ninjas.
There's a review on IMDb that said, this person says, I was attending the school in Central Florida where it was filmed at the time. So I'm one of the few people who actually saw this movie in a theater when it came out. Such fond memories. A friend and I still quote the movie to each other. Yeah, they said the audience was laughing so hard at some points that we couldn't hear the dialogue. Even during a touching scene where one character is tearfully describing how he became from his estranged father.
Yeah, I was laughing pretty hard during that.
The classic response, I didn't know you had a father.
I did not know you had a father? Like, no, I'm a test tube, baby.
And they said YK Kim was a nice guy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I read up this dude, like...
I like how this person says... This is in 2007. This person said, I doubt this movie is available, but it is probably worth viewing if you can find it. Like... There's not many old reviews on here, but there's a couple that somehow people had seen it. Maybe VHS copies, tape trading.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people in Florida, like, had seen it. Maybe they sold some VHS
garage
copies
sale.
At the, like, independently sold them at the screening at the university or something, and then taping them, and just, you know, I mean, that's like how a lot of movies back then got passed around, and especially one like this that had nothing. It never was released officially until a year ago. But everybody loves it. Somebody said it's the Citizen Kane of 80s ninja musicals.
The Citizen Kane of 80s ninja musicals?
It is like the best bad movie ever.
I like this. The perfect storm of ugly people, bad acting, stupid dialogue, horrendous action scenes, and bargain basement special effects.
That's a little more fitting.
And then, well, this is a 10 out of 10 star review.
Well, yeah, because it was a perfect storm of those horrible things to make it a great movie.
Best lines include, they don't make buns like that down at the bakery, and my mother was Korean, my father was Black American. God, I love this movie. It is everything a true cinephile could ever dream for. I totally agree. I am definitely adding this movie to my collection. I may even get the Tough Guy edition so I can get the poster and display the poster up.
What's in the stupid cocaine edition?
The stupid cocaine edition is just the movie, the digital download, and the soundtrack download.
And a dime bag of coke.
Yeah, no.
Stupid coke.
Stupid cocaine.
Yeah, it's just so ridiculous. Like, this movie, I loved every minute of this movie. It was just so...
I'm glad you talked me into watching it. This is one that was definitely in my list of good B-movies to be watching.
I will recommend this movie to everyone, especially old ladies on the street I don't know. I will just yell it in their face.
It's set at a high bar now, which is unfortunate, because then you're going to walk out, like, watch other things, and it's like, you know... And then it's like the bar is set really high right now. One movie I know I want to do for the 1 year of the 52nd episode is Birdemic Shock and Terror. Mm. I don't know if anybody here has seen that.
I haven't seen it, but I'm familiar with the Birdemic.
Birdemic is a movie I saw years ago when it hit like DVD and stuff, and holy fuck,
it is like a ripoff of The Birds.
Kinda. Mm. It's like the fucking worst. Like, if you think The Room, it's like that. Have you ever seen The Room or know anything about that?
That sounds familiar. What's that one?
It's Tommy Wiseau. It's like this fucking shitty-ass movie about really a guy that gets his heart broken.
Yeah.
No.
Another movie by... The dialogue is written by someone who doesn't speak English.
Yeah, Birdemic is like... Oh, God, it's so wonderful, but it's so bad. I almost would like to actually almost just go back and revisit Mac and Me because it's just such a... fucking classic.
Yeah.
It is just so unreal. But does anybody else have anything else to say about Miami Connection. Other than that, we loved it.
I'm gonna go back and masturbate to orangutan boobies later.
There we go. I want to meet YK Kim. I want to shake the guy's hand.
I did read up on YK Kim. The dude, okay, movie aside, the guy is doing like great things. He's making martial arts, like Taekwondo. He's getting it like known around the world. He's an inspirational speaker. Like, the guy wears a lot of fucking hats. Movie Maker is not one of those hats.
This movie bankrupted YK Kim. It cost $1 million.
What?
$1 million in 1987
money. That
movie
cost $1 million in 87
because I thought it was going to... It opened in 8 theaters in Orlando, in the greater Orlando area, and then it screened in Daytona Beach and a few other places. It also opened in West Germany, which is kind of weird. He said, I was so excited, I had no doubt we would pack every theater, it would be a blockbuster. Instead, it tanked so bad.
But now it's coming back with a vengeance.
It is.
Damn, dude.
All thanks
like
to the Alamo Drafthouse Theater. I wonder.
That's like fucking $10 million today.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. In 2009, a programmer at Alamo Drafthouse Cinema, Zach Carlson, found the film on eBay and made a blind $50 bid and won.
What?
He bought it for $50 on like a shitty VHS tape.
Wow.
And he saw it and they screened it at the theater in Austin. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Did you have other things to say about YK Kim and his stories, and his travels?
Yeah, no, he seems like a cool guy. Should not make films.
He should. I want a Kickstarter for Miami Connection 2.
Okay. All right.
I would give money to that Kickstarter.
I think I would too. Damn it.
And you get like incentives for Kickstarter, so maybe one's like a phone call or something, or you get like a free copy of the movie when it comes out, or like your name in the credits. That could be like $10, your name in the credits for funding the movie.
Oh, I would pay to be an extra, just a background character.
Or yeah, that could be like if you bid like if you give like $1,000, you get to be in the movie. Like, not even an extra, you get to fucking say, like, those buns look like they're from a bakery.
They don't make buns like that at a bakery.
Or somebody sitting on a two-minute fight scene.
Some old lady sitting on a donut, and he's like, they don't make donuts like those in the bakery. That was really bad.
I do not want that roll. They don't make rolls like that in a bakery. We're done here.
But yeah, I think a Kickstarter to get this guy some money to make Miami Connection 2. Get all the original guys back. Maybe there's like a new Dragon Sound. Like, they get like the old guys are there, but they have inspired a new.
There's Dragon Sound 2.0.
Yeah.
They're fucking
dubstep. No. They just have to be synth rock band, and everybody loves them still.
There you go.
Or just set it in 1988.
Get all the same actors, but yeah. Be like,
this
one
is 1 year
later.
Or like, it's Dragon Sound still performing, and then the son of the boss, like, wants revenge after all these years, and like,
we're getting
somewhere.
Yeah,
okay. I can help make this movie.
Let's help him.
I'll make sure there's a beach scene.
Patent pending.
I'll make sure that there's a crying scene.
There better be.
maybe some named people might even be in it, you know? They might, if they've seen the movie. The Alamo Drafthouse is a pretty popular movie theater where a lot of, when they have South by Southwest, that's kind of a place that a lot of people go, so I'm sure there's some comedians and
I've
other people that have seen this movie.
Some Doug Loves movies from Alamo Drafthouse.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I seriously loved...
Great movie.
I love this movie.
Everyone watch it twice.
Everyone watch it.
Watch it thrice.
I'm going to watch it so many times because it is just, it's unreal. I'm going to show this to so many people. Like, I feel like it's one of those movies that people just have,
It's on Netflix and YouTube.
And YouTube. Yeah. And you can buy it if you want to.
Which I'm going to.
Next week in episode number 50. That seems 50. Like that should be the anniversary type of like big episode 50, but like...
Yeah. But no.
52 is like the year. Or
something. I get that.
You know?
I understand.
You know what it is. Well, in episode 50, we're going to do a movie that I looked up a while back, and it's just so ridiculous. In, I think, Japan, it was called Panic in the Tower. But in the States, it's known as Shakma. and a wild animal attacks people trapped in a large tower. It's a baboon gone crazy. They put some sort of microchip or something in it. It has Christopher Atkins in it, who was Lightning and Smoking Lightning.
Shut the front door. No way.
So Roddy McDowell's also in it. Pretty big actor. Yeah, it just looks ridiculous. There's a baboon just going to town on people. Looks pretty fucking wild.
Color me excited.
Color me Miami Connection. Yes. I don't know what that means, but just do it. So for the B-Movie Breakdown, I'm Corey.
I'm Timmy Blaze.
I'm Chris.
See you next week.
Boom.
Boom.
Shock.
It's the best of the worst. Shock. Shock.